Well, good morning again, and can I say thank you very much, Linda and Leslie, for the opportunity to be able to share God's Word with you this morning. Linda asked whether I could speak on the Magnificat, and I thought, yes, why not? I want to read it for you from Luke's Gospel. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." I wonder if you've ever been surprised that someone has known your name or even remembered your name. I try very hard to remember people's names. I have a little secret. I'll let you into my secret. Just don't tell the rest of the people in the parish, okay? When someone new comes to church and I find out their name, when they're not looking, I take out my phone and I surreptitiously type their name into my phone. And I have this list on my phone called Church People to Remember. And I might write, you know, your name, and, you know, you might have said you've just moved from Kerrang. I'll write Kerrang and maybe something like that. And then after a couple of weeks, once your name sticks in my head, I then just sort of delete it from that list because I've got your name here. But what I do is the very next week, if I see you coming in, I go, "Oh, that's right, yeah, it was." And I, "Oh, hello, how are you?" And that's my secret. Don't tell anyone in the parish. My headmaster, when I was at school, New Year 7 would turn up at the school, he would go into each of the classrooms of the Year 7 students, and he would ask every boy their name, and maybe something about them I can't remember now. It was just a couple of weeks ago, really. And he would then remember your name. And there was well over 1,000 boys at that school. In fact, some years later, in fact, it was not that long ago, it was about 12 or 13 years ago now, he rang me. He happened to be doing a locum at a school up near where I was in Armidale in New South Wales, and he rang me to see how I was going. He remembered me. How many more thousands of boys went through the school after me? What a great ability to be able to remember names. Now, I say this because it's that idea of being remembered that's important here. Because when you look at the Magnificat, the Song of Mary, there are two particular elements to this song. And the very first is this idea of being remembered. Mary is ecstatic. She's overjoyed. Her spirit rejoices. Why? Well, she tells us that God has been mindful of her and her humble state. He has remembered her. Of all the women in Israel at that time, he has remembered her. And she marvels at that. God has remembered her and has seen her fit for his purpose. And Mary says, from now on, when people consider her story, they will say she is blessed. We do that today, don't we? Because the Lord God Almighty, the reason why she'll say she is blessed is because the Lord God Almighty, the one who reigns on high, the one before whom mountains melt like wax and the seas roar, has remembered this young girl. And then, as the Magnificat, the song, continues, it takes a turn for the unexpected, I believe. See, the second aspect of this song, this Magnificat, is that it then focuses on what God has done. Mary has just said, all generations will call me blessed, and you might expect her then to go on and say, why is she blessed? But her attention turns to God's plans and God's actions. In fact, here's a little interesting fun fact. The Song of Mary says more about God than it ever does about Mary. And we're going to come back to that in a moment, because I actually think it's really important for us here today. So just hold that one for a second. But consider what it says about God. His mercy extends to all who fear him, it says. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds, and we see that those mighty deeds are directed to those who are humble and fear him, people of faith. And what are those mighty deeds? Well, the song says, Mary sings, he has brought down rulers, he has lifted the humble, he's given the hungry good things to eat. He's been merciful to his servant Israel. He has remembered the promises of Abraham. What you see here in this Song of Mary, this Magnificat, is that Mary is an incredible theologian. She is a great theologian. We might be excused for thinking that Mary is all excited about the birth of the child that's about to happen. But Mary's focus is bigger. She is excited about the birth of the child, but the focus is actually also bigger, because, yes, Mary is a great theologian. She sees the bigger picture. God's plan for Israel, even for all humanity, as a good theologian, she traces it back to the promises of Abraham. Right at the end of the song, she says, he has remembered his promises to the descendants of Abraham. And what are those promises? Well, if we know our Bibles well, we know that there was a promises of being many descendants. Descendants as numerous as the sands on the seashore, as the stars in the sky. That they would be a great nation, that they would have their own land. And that through Abraham, or more in particular through his descendants, they would be a blessing to all the world. And again, if we know our Bibles well, we know those promises have to come to fruition, haven't they? We know that from Abraham came Isaac, and before you know it, as they're leaving Egypt, they are numbered in the hundreds of thousands. We know that they are given land after their time in the wilderness. They take possession of what is called the Promised Land. In fact, Mary is excited because she knows that her child will be the last piece of the jigsaw puzzle of God's promises to Abraham, the blessing to all the world. Mary is a good theologian. And in line with her humility, she turns the focus back to God, his good purposes, his plans from generation to generation. And that's why Mary says, the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Holy is his name. So here we have these two aspects, these two parts to the Magnificat. Mary being remembered and God's plans coming to fruition. And I said I would come back to that second part, didn't I? You see, the song that Mary sings focuses a lot on God's plans and on his promises. There's something in that for us. Just consider the title of the song. It's often called the Magnificat, which, if you know, and for those of you who are a lot better at languages than I am, it comes from the Latin. The word order is often a little bit different in the Latin, so the word magnify is at the start of the sentence, which is why it's called the Magnificat. But if you look up your Bibles, you would see that they've often titled this the Song of Mary. Sometimes in the prayer book it's called the Canticle of Mary. But I want to suggest something to you. I actually think that title is a little limiting. Let me explain why. Mary's soul magnifies the Lord because he has indeed honoured her. Mary has been included as part of God's plan. But I would argue that the song might also be retitled, or at least have it added to it, the Song of Mary, the Song of Greg, the Song of Linda, the Song of Leslie, the Song of Rhonda, the Song of Gillian, the Song of, insert your name here. You might be saying, but Greg, you don't understand. Mary was the one that gave birth to Jesus. Actually, I do understand. I know how the story ends. But Greg, you don't understand. Mary's role was unique. Yes, it was. But each of us are called to a unique role that God has for us in his good purposes. But you might say, but Mary was so special. But again, I would say to you, why was Mary called? Because she was humble and willing. We hear that in a story, don't we? Here I am. May it be to me as you have said. Let me tell you a story. Some 40 years ago, in Western Sydney, there was a little grey-haired lady who went to church. Doesn't sound very special at the moment, does it? The story gets better. The details of this story is that every week, this little grey-haired lady went to church. She prepared the Sunday school lesson every single week. It wasn't a large Sunday school, it was just a handful of kids, literally a handful of kids. She would faithfully teach that handful of kids every week. She would faithfully pray for that handful of kids every week. Week after week, month after month, year after year. Her name? No idea. Can't remember it. I can't remember it. But I was one of the kids. And I can't remember her name. To my shame, as it were, I obviously didn't write it down in my phone at the time. I've forgotten her name. She was my Sunday school teacher. But it's because of her faithfulness that I got to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and God's good plans and purposes. It's because of her faithfulness my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because like Mary, she was willing and she was humble and faithful. And I would hope that through my ministry over these, how many years, others have come to know Christ and others have grown in their love and their faith of the Lord. And they can only do that. They can only have had that experience through me because of that grey-haired lady who taught me. The Song of Mary is that grey-haired lady's song too. Except I can't remember her name. But I call her Blessed. And everyone else who, if they've only benefited a little from my ministry over the years, should call her blessed as well. Because the Lord remembered her and she had a part in his plan. I think too often we put ourselves down. I think too often we say, oh, I could never be like some, and we often think of some great preacher or some great prayer or someone who does something well. But each of us needs to understand the Song of Mary. We need to realise that God uses the humble and the willing. to be part of his bigger plan. Each of us, if we are faithful, each of us should be singing, "My soul magnifies the Lord, because he has remembered me and he has given me a part in his big plan." It's never too late. It's never too late. Even now we can ask, "Lord, what is it that you would have me do?" I don't believe there's a use-by date, by the way, on saints. There is on milk and on certain other things, but not on saints. Each of us, if there is breath in our lungs, have a role to play in God's good plan. Whether it be contributing to MU, in your local church, in your community that God has planted you, in your family, in your friendship circle, wherever it is, each of us, God has planted there, and each of us can sing, "My soul magnifies the Lord, for he has remembered me and has given me a part to play, a small part in his big plan. Here I am, Lord. Let it be to me as you have said. Holy is your name." Let me pray for us. Gracious Lord, we want to thank you for those names, or even if it's not names anymore, just the faces of those who ministered to us and who shared the good news with us. Thank you, Lord, that you called them to that role. Blessed are they. And thank you, Lord, that you call each of us to be part of your plan for this world. May we learn from Mary and her patience. May we learn to be willing, to be faithful, in order that your name be glorified. For holy is your name, Lord. Amen.